Hello, my friends. Welcome to Let's Talk. My name is Shay Marville, and I think one of the most important skills in this world is being able to have a conversation with a friend or a foe. Let's Talk is a podcast about listening, growing, connecting, and hoping through compassion and talking. And I mean really talking about the good things and the hard things, and with remarkable people living in a remarkable time. So let's talk. Well, my friends, welcome to Let's Talk. On today's episode, I have the great privilege of having in the pod international DJ, producer, creator, provocateur, Cosmic Cat. Welcome to Let's Talk. So let's talk. Oh my God, you're here. I'm so excited. Hey, I'm too excited, right? I'm too excited.
This is so exciting.
How
Thanks
are
for
you?
Having me. I'm really excited to be here. This is awesome. I'm great. I'm feeling really great. Yeah, I went out last night, had some bevvies on a patio, and I'm feeling great. Yeah,
is that good. Is that your first time sort of being out, like, and like sort of a bit normal in the last 17 months?
No, to be honest, there's a lot of breweries in our neighborhood with epic patios. So I think as soon as the law changed, my birthday was June 23rd. So yes. I went downtown and went to, actually in Toronto, I went to Pearl Diver, and it has a huge parking lot beside it that they've converted to a patio with picnic tables. So that was the kickoff for me, June 23rd, when I went to like a patio and I saw these people and I was just like, oh my God, we're opening up. This is so simultaneously weird, but exciting. And
exciting.
Yeah, it was great.
So how have you been in this last 17 months? I mean, where do you DJ when we're in a pandemic and a lockdown?
Yeah, it definitely hit artists extremely hard, this pandemic. And it was one of those things where I feel like there was people that completely lost all their work. And then there were people that had to double and triple their workload by trying to navigate everything they're doing online. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I was one of the ones that lost all their work. And it was really hard because as a professional DJ and music producer, I was DJing probably 3-4 nights a week. I'm affiliated with the Drake Hotel Properties. They have 5 properties. And I was DJing a lot for them, plus a lot of corporate events in Toronto at different establishments and venues, and then promoting my own events as a music producer and a DJ. So I was extremely busy and grateful for that love of my life. And then it was like, nope, all gatherings ended, all venues closed. So that was it. It was like the rug got pulled out from under me. I'll be really honest with you. March 2020, when everything hit the fan, April and May, I just didn't really even want to get out of bed. Like I was so depressed, and my dog died in March 2020, and everything just hit this wall, and it was like your whole life has stopped. And you know, as a DJ, I was like, this is my income, my life, but also my passion. It's what fulfilled me, like serving people, making them happy, making them smile, feeling that connection, sharing that joy. And it was also my identity. Like, I'm DJ Cosmic Cat, yo. You know, it was just like, yeah, there's ego there, but that's who I was.
Right? Yes, yes.
And it's like, well, if I'm not DJing and I'm not, like, who am I? And it got really deep and really kind of dark. And I had to pull from inside, you know, much like I know a lot of people experiencing a grief or a loss of some kind. You have to mourn it. I let myself sit in it. I went to therapy. I really needed some counseling for the grief of the loss of my dog of 15 years, whom I loved. And then also the loss of my career and my identity. So I took it, you know, I'm very cosmic, and I really honored that moment of my life. And I was like, I am really sitting in a dark place and I need help and I need to process all this stuff, sit with the grief. And then my wonderful and lovely and supportive partner, who also, she's a prof at University of Toronto, but she also was a social worker mm-hmm. before she went into being a professor. And she was kind of like, okay, like, it's time to get out of bed now. You know, like, okay.
Yes.
We're out of crisis mode and we have to start like taking baby steps.
Little steps. And what was your first baby step into imagining something new?
Interestingly enough, it was just getting back on social media. I completely did a blackout. I didn't do anything.
I noticed that.
I just turned off my phone. Yeah. April and May, I just turned off my phone. I was like, well, nobody's calling me and I don't want to talk to anybody and I don't want to see anything and I don't have anything to post and I don't have anything to share. So I'm out. And I kind of just unplugged my phone and left it. And getting back on socials, I was very selective, but it actually inspired me. I checked out, you know, what are DJs doing? I looked at different countries and different genres and different ways that people were coping. And I got my inspiration from that. And I started researching live streaming and I just started just feeling part of the community because we all need to feel part of a community. So I was reaching out to my DJ community and sharing in their kind of loss and outrage and, you know, panic and like depression and feeling like, oh, I'm not alone. And then also getting inspired by the ways they were like, okay, somebody's teaching DJ classes online. Somebody's live streaming on Twitch. And I was like, what is this Twitch thing? I mean, I'm not a gamer. I was like, I didn't get into DJing to do anything online. I'm very real, like person to person. But took the leap and decided to, you know, just do a few live streams just for my own, not even like promote them, just so that I could get my hands back on the decks again and feel
get into the energy, get into the like the momentum of the of what you were playing with before, like just, you know, because this was your artistry.
Mm-hmm. And it's like you don't want to be. I just made a commitment to myself. I am not just going to sit here for however long this pandemic takes and become rusty and become irrelevant and become out of touch with what I am doing and my whole message and my whole purpose here. Mm. And then I got a call from Pride Toronto and they said, you know, hey, our whole festival is virtual this year. Do you want to do a live set? You know, and from that moment, I had like a mission. I had like a gig. I had a purpose. I had a set to prepare. I had to do some research so that, you know, my live stream would be on point and my visuals and my idea, my concept would be, you know, I just like started to believe in life again. And I was like, I'm doing it. You know, I was getting paid and I was, you know, I was like, there's hope.
Yes.
And I think that's what it took. It started that big ball rolling and I never looked back from there. After that gig, there was like a couple thousand people tuned in, so it was really cool and exciting. And
it was, you were on fire. You were on fire. It was amazing.
Tell me more about my eyes. I had such a great time. I really let it all out, you know.
Yes.
I was like, this set represents so much to me. It represents just releasing the energy that's been pent up. It represents the hope for the future. It represents me just absolutely being in the zone, doing what I love to do. It's a very cosmic set. Mm-hmm. And after that, I just started, I decided to live stream twice a week, once on Mixcloud and Thursdays on Twitch and Fridays on Mixcloud. And I did that right up until the weather got nice. And I said, nah, I'm done with this. But it was like all through the winter and all through, you know, right up until March of this year. And I just found a lot of enjoyment in that.
You started to also produce, you know, other people and people's podcasts and set people up, even though you couldn't do the event, you'd kind of put the event into a box and take it to people and then they managed it themselves. Does that have the same kind of creativity? Does it juice you up the same way that, you know, creating a, you know, having, hosting, directing a live event, playing at a live event would?
I would definitely have to say no. I mean, the reality is I am a, I kind of shifted my
It's kind of a dumb question. I'm sorry.
No. No, it's a fair question. And everybody has the right to feel whatever they want about whatever they're doing.
Yes.
But for me, I feel like my deepest connection is being a music producer, where I have the ability to sit in my studio and create something completely new from scratch that I heard in my head and I was inspired by somehow. And that's magic to me. So I spent a lot of time in the studio over the pandemic. I released quite a few EPs, singles. I had really successful releases and super fun putting music out.
Yes.
And then all these live streams. So, but to make money and to, you know, to expand on the services that I can do and I can offer, I began editing the podcast, as you were saying, and producing some podcasts, and started with my partner's podcast, and it's doing really well. Someone's got 10,000 downloads on Buzzsprout and stuff. So I'm very proud of her for pushing it and getting all the guests and doing all these great interviews. And it expanded from there with some of her colleagues reaching out and then other people reaching out and word of mouth. So I'm, you know what it is like, it's super validating, and I'm really proud to be able to do that, to have that, like, yeah, I can put audio in my software and I can edit it and I can mix and master it and I can make you sound really good. And that gives me a lot of satisfaction and fulfillment. It's a different kind of fulfillment when I've created something from scratch that's in my soul. And it's also a different kind of fulfillment when I'm DJing in front of a crowd and I catch someone's eyes and we're both vibing and the energy's like through the roof. It's 100% different. But it's kind of like, if I can make an analogy, it's kind of like bricks in a wall or flowers in a garden. And you step back and you're like, this is a beautiful garden. Mm-hmm. Or you step back and you go, this is a great, you know, solid wall with all the different bricks, with all the different things that I can do artistically to promote, to support, to engage with people and to fulfill myself. Because really, that's what we're here for.
Yeah, totally.
Right?
And I mean, I think also you always speak of this connection with the universe, with this, you know, being a part of something larger. Do you feel that this period that we've been in has expanded your capacity as a creator, as a producer, as a musician? Do you see things that you didn't see before the pandemic that are possible?
That is a really great question. I think without a doubt, because of that dark period I was talking to you about in April, May, when I didn't know what the future would hold and all the venues were closed and my dog died and everybody was isolating and we weren't allowed to socialize. It was so dark for me that I was able to come out of that and experience this, you know, you just can't have one without the other. You can't have the dark without the light. You can't have this love and this joy without experience this pain and this darkness. And I feel like having that now in hindsight has given me this gratitude for everything that I do that means something to me, because I felt everything was taken away. This gratitude and this joy and this love for my fellow humans, because I couldn't interact with any of them. I couldn't see any of them. I felt nothing but their pain through me. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so I feel like I have this special kind of joy that I call it, you know, hashtag cosmic love. It's kind of cheesy, but I feel like
I love it.
This gift that I have, and I have this huge amounts of love to share with everybody, because I feel like I've experienced this huge amount of pain. And so I didn't have that before the pandemic. I was just kind of doing my thing like everybody else. And sure, I've always been a grateful, kind of optimistic person, but this is different. This is more like I am taking every moment and feeling everything and being able to amplify that through music or through DJing or through producing a song, and or even through connecting on social media, and just be really intentional about that joy. Like, my posts are intentional. I want to spread messages of positivity, of inspiration, something that moves me, something artistic, something funny, something positive, something good. I want to put more good in the world, because I think that is a direct consequence of the pain that I felt at the beginning of the pandemic and the loss. And now it's like, you know what, I've climbed out, and on the way, I just got some strength and some love, and I want to share it, because that's who I am.
Yeah, I'm so grateful that you are sharing your experience so candidly, because I think what you described is what millions and millions of people have experienced, are experiencing, and I know for me also, this, like, I've not shied away from saying this year and a half or almost 2 years has been completely transformational. And I would like the things I had before back, and the people that I've lost, I'd like to have them back. But at the same time, I also feel like there are things that I'm aware of now, but on this, like, deep level of, like, this download of, I don't need to intellectualize this. I feel it. And I know you feel it.
It's like we're vibrating on this frequency. And I feel like our collective narrative as a whole on this planet has been shifted, where there's been so much confusion and fear and chaos, and we don't know what's going on. And, like, we're all scared, and we're all, like, vulnerable, and we're all anxious, and we're all fragile. And then it's like the real you comes out. Okay, now what? Like, how are you going to move forward?
Exactly.
And for me, I'm an explosive kind of, just kind of all in person with a lot of energy. And it was kind of like, well, I'm going to take this head on. Like, I just did not get out of bed. And then I was like, well, now that I am getting out of bed and I'm moving forward, and life is, like, feeling positive for me, I'm going to explode that energy out. I'm going to do that and not deny the pain, and not deny that, like, hey, I'm not a superwoman. Like, I feel anxious and I feel nervous and I feel unsure of what's going to happen with my career, the future, this pandemic, the Delta variant, this, you know, Canada, America, like, it's, like, crazy out there.
Yes.
But you can't dwell on it.
No, you can't.
It really is one of those things where I feel a lot of empathy and I feel a lot of compassion. And I have had to work a lot on boundaries, because I want to just save everybody and you know, collect all the lost souls and make them feel better and hug them and tell them it's going to be okay. But I can't promise that. And that's not my job and my journey.
No.
But what I can do is I can share my joy through my art.
Yes.
And I hope it reaches as many people as possible, because I think that's my true wish.
It's
to spread. You know, when I was about 12, I had a vision of, it was in the desert. And clear as day, there was me, and there was millions and millions of tiny white flowers as far as the eye could see. And I remember thinking how beautiful those flowers were and how they were waving together just really slowly, and how they were so unified and vibing together. And I said to myself, those are my people. And looking back, I'm like, wow, delusions of grandeur. But at the same time, I was like, I feel like I needed to vibe with those flowers, that I am one of those flowers, and we're all those flowers. But I was like, I saw millions of them. And as I progressed in my career, I was like, sometimes I look out at the crowd and I'm like, these are my people. And it's the same feeling as when I saw those flowers. I'm like, I'm not some bigger flower. I'm not some different color flower. We're all the flowers, and we're all vibing together, and we're all beautiful as flowers. Like, what is more beautiful than a flower? It was just a magic moment. And I've had that vision in my head forever. And I just feel like when I'm really in the zone, everybody in the club or the venue or the field or the festival, everybody turns into a flower.
Wow, that is magnificent. I love that image, because I think also, you know, like there's so much negativity right now, right? And there's so many hard truths coming up. And I think sometimes when you're an optimist or you're positive, people will say, well, aren't you looking around? Like, what's wrong with you? Aren't you paying attention? Mm-hmm. And it's like, mm-hmm. I think we have to pay attention, but at the same time, what we pay attention to grows. So,
so true.
We also have to try and, you know, like seed the garden and grow more flowers. So I'm going to steal that image when
steal
I'm
it.
Teaching because I steal love it. That. It's magnificent.
Yeah. I would love you to do that. And I would also love for you to have to literally, when you look out at people that you're reaching, is to visualize them as flowers, because it just is a beautiful, it's a beautiful image in my mind. So I would love to share that.
It's very Buddhist.
It's interesting. I don't consider myself like anything, maybe recovering Catholic, but nothing really formal. And it's kind of like, yeah, I've been challenged, like, oh yeah, like things are so hard and you're not, you know, you're just like, oh, you can't just, you know, just chant affirmations and make it all go away. I'm like, no, oh, hell no.
No.
You know, I see the world in how it is, I feel, and also how I want it to be,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a Black woman who is, you know, butchy and, you know, kind of gender nonconforming in a way that I get stigma, and I am very queer and out, and I have definitely experienced a lot of negativity and racism and sexism and homophobia. That is not lost on me. Those nuances are not lost.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean that I am going to retreat into this little negative space forever. You know, I might visit there and say, wow, this really sucks that people just cannot accept me, even if I'm different from them.
Yes.
That really sucks that people are still killing queer people all over the world, or that people are still racist and treating Black women and Black people differently from any other person. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, do I know? Yes.
You feel me, sis?
I feel you.
This is what I'm saying, right? So it's not as if I'm like, oh my God, I live in this rainbow world of like endless white flowers. It's that this is the way that I choose to move forward in the world. And it's very intentional and it is very powerful. And
yes.
I get a lot of, I just get a lot of internal power from it. And I find that most people that are filled with hate are truly filled with pain. And I can see that pain because I've had that pain.
Yeah.
And it doesn't condone it, but it's like, you're not some mystical dragon person. You are just someone who's acting out from trauma or in pain.
Yes,
and
exactly.
There we are. Now let's all move on. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, no, I do. And I also feel that, like you, that we are also very powerful beings. And, mm-hmm. you know, outside of these social constructs of race and gender and all these things that people feel that they have to put on us.
Heteronormativity.
Yeah, mm-hmm. like I think we are beings and we're fluid and we can fit into different places and we come mm-hmm. from different realms, you know. And
mm-hmm.
I understand, though, that I live in a human body. I understand that I look a certain way. I understand that I'm perceived a certain way, whether I open my mouth or not.
Or not. The biases are there.
They
all have them. We have
exactly.
them. I have them. I have them.
But I can't allow those biases to define the life force that's inside of me. And like you, I think it's about trying to find your way in the society where you can be, where you can carve out as much freedom as you can have
mm-hmm.
within the world that you're living. And we all do that differently. You know, everyone has a different role to play in creating that freedom for themselves and for others.
Yeah, that's beautifully spoken. And I think the key is what you said was we all have to find our way in our own way. And it's like, you know, I feel like I'm a leader. I'm not finding a path. I never found a path. I made my path. I literally hacked it through the bush and created it myself because there was no path.
There was no
looked like me. And there was no person that I was like, oh yeah, this is exactly who I am. And this is what I need to be. It was like, no, I created every ounce of that path. And I think that's where you win, is you find your path or you make your path, and everybody finds it or makes it in a different way.
Yeah.
And it's really well said what you're laying down there.
Thank you. I think also that, one of the things I find that I've found really fascinating and appealing about you is, you know, I've been at a couple of your events, and one of them was a corporate event, and we didn't know each other. Mm-hmm. And it was for women, professional women. And you turned that place into like the Twilight Zone from the early 90s.
Thank you. I think.
I really, well, it was good. Twilight was that bad.
Okay, cool.
Twilight Zone.
All right.
I think it was great.
Awesome.
I'm really aging myself here. But it was amazing. And I just think the truth of who you are, you live that in your music and the way you treat people. And you do look at people like they're flowers. Cause I was one of the flowers in the group, and I could see you were looking at everyone and trying to create space. So I think that's a really important role for DJs. I think DJs have a huge, massive role in what we are growing into and how we grow out of this pandemic.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. And I feel that, because I feel people looking to me like, how do we party again? How do we feel good again? You know, in an authentic way, not in some manufactured, like you're forced to feel this or you're supposed to feel this, in an authentic way. And I feel like that's where I come in. My role is to make it feel like how I feel, which is authentically putting out the good vibes and not forcing it. If you're not feeling it, it's okay. You know what I mean? We all have to enter back into socialization in our own way. And I think that, yeah, the DJ does play a really important part of that, as does the music producer in the vibe of the music that's being created right now. It's the mouthpiece for people that maybe can't create music, but they feel they relate to it, and they see themselves represented in that music, or the way that they feel that way when they hear that music, and they're like, oh yeah, this is how I was feeling, and I feel validated. So I think the DJ is kind of like, I'm here to validate your feelings of like, you know, freedom or letting go or like releasing your cares or just having a really good time or being thoughtful and partying with a purpose or being intentional about socializing and or coming together for a cause, like some of the Pride events where we're partying in a kind of a fierce way, like we're taking up space because we deserve it and we demand to take up space, and maybe we haven't been seen or heard before.
Yes.
So it's all true.
But I think it's also something else. And so now I'm speaking from the point of view as a yogi and a meditator. I think it's also about the sound and vibration and the healing that comes from moving and breathing with other people. Like, you know, in meditation, there's this concept called Sangha, where different groups and meditators, they sit together and the Sangha creates the experience of the meditation. And I think, you know, sometimes, you know, events, music, that's what it creates. And it's a kind of Sangha in a way, like this way where we're breathing together, we're becoming something else together, we're building health together. And you're vibrating on this level where it's not about words, it's not about the language, it's about what sound does to your physical body. So it's really, I think it's very, very powerful. Like I'm thinking maybe street parties are going to come back. So maybe we can't all be together, but like maybe I see you at the end of the street and I see other DJs.
Yeah.
DJing, and then
it's true.
maybe there's a way to do it in your circle or something until.
Well, the reality is like in, if you're in downtown Toronto and Kensington Market, like on the weekend, they had boom boxes and everybody was out on the street and it was a really good vibe. It did not feel like it was Toronto at all. It was really just like a street party. So yeah, I think everybody is going to, it's going to benefit from the way that music raises your frequency and the way that it connects people that don't necessarily speak the same language in a different way. It's like, mm, we can all be in the same space and vibing to that vibe, and the person curating that is very important, and that is the DJ. Hmm. And so I think it's a great mission to have.
Where do you get your inspiration as a DJ and as a producer?
I get my inspiration from, first of all, other DJs. I'm always checking out other DJs on SoundCloud, on Bandcamp, on Mixcloud, like pretty much everywhere. It's like a full-time thing. and also other producers like Honey Dijon and Jax Jones and Disclosure and Fred Everything and Jada G and Monkey DJ. And I just defected the labels. I follow them all and I see how they're all putting their art out in the world, and I get new music, inspirations. I just get new vibes, new energy. Mm. Also art from the 90s and current art that's super modern, but like Keith Haring and Basquiat and yes, Andy Warhol, and the kind of all the street art, the graffiti. Sometimes I'm just looking and I'll see a throw up and I'll be like, wow, this is so raw and fresh, and the energy just is like pow, and I just feel this like urge to make something really raw and rugged in my own music. And also travel. We all can't travel right now, but when I do travel, I'm constantly taking notes, like, wow, this is like, I just saw that and that's so cool, and I just saw that and that was really interesting. Or I remember I was in Bogota in January of 2019. Oh no, 2020 actually, before this whole thing hit. I was in Bogota and I saw, I went on a walking tour, like a graffiti tour, and they took me through all these really cool different areas. But when I was in between one graffiti area and another, I actually passed the parquet and these people were doing this freestyle kind of, this guy had these hoops and he was holding the hoop, but then he was like spinning inside the hoop, very Cirque du Soleil. But just the way that we're practicing all this crazy acrobatic parkour circus stuff in the park, just totally cash. I was so inspired by that. Like, it just made me almost come up with a melody, like right then, of this kind of floating, energetic, like upbeat vibe. So it can really come from anywhere. I just keep my eyes open. I love nature art. I let it all come in.
How did you get into DJing? What was the impetus for you?
I think it's just a curiosity, a passion for music for sure. I always loved music, and I remember making like little. All the DJs will totally understand this, but I used to make like pause tapes where you'd be listening to the radio, and then you would like try and cut the announcer off, and like make this endless mix without the talking.
Yes,
and so I would always do that forever. And I don't know why or what I did with those mixes, but I just made them. And then one day I was at a friend's house and her brother had cousins in New York and came back from New York with like those mixtapes that you used to be able to buy on the street.
Yes, yeah.
And I heard it and I was just like, my mind is so blown right now. I was like, how are they doing this? Like, how are they making the songs blend? How are they layering songs on top of the other? How are they scratching and then they're adding drops and the sound effects and like fuego and do 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 and bah, 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 and like ripping everything up and flipping things that I songs that I really knew, but then they were like doing remixes of them. I was just like, oh my god, I need to know how to do this.
Yeah,
I literally went to Radio Shack, got a mixer, went to the thrift store, found an old Technics turntable. And the rest is just like me going through different pieces of gear for the rest of my life.
Brilliant.
And no YouTube, no videos, no DJ mentors. I taught myself from recording myself and listening back. and DJing all my friends' parties for free, and then finally getting a paid gig and finally getting proper gear.
Yes.
And
yes.
Finally just committing to it as a yes. career option and going full on, like being like, I can do this. I'm not a starving artist. I'm actually a thriving, successful artist. And mm-hmm. this is something that once I put my ego aside yeah. and I was like, and, you know, cause when I first started, I was like, oh, I'm gonna play that. Oh, that's a cheesy song. That's stupid. You know, like, I think you have to go through that phase.
Yes. Yeah.
But once I got over that and I was like, you know what, if it really makes you happy.
That's
and
right.
I was like, oh my God, I can work 7 days a week. People are going, they just like, wow, there's like corporates and there's ice that's, rinks and there's like museums and there's bars.
That's what freaked me out at that event.
Parties.
That's what freaked me out at that event because it was so straight. Everyone was wearing a suit. And then, yeah. and I was only,
then I came in.
I was only, well, I was only planning to stay for like, I was like, you know, to my colleague, I was like, I'm going to stay for like maybe 30 minutes tops. I heard you.
Famous last words.
I stopped networking and I was on the dance floor. So it was good. Mm. Anyways.
Yeah, I think like, yeah, you just have to find your groove. And I was like, you know what? I like DJing enough to not just DJ once every 2 months playing deep house. I can actually play everything. And
yes,
you know, one night I'm playing old school hip hop, you know, and one night I'm playing like, you know, current club and guilty flavors and guilty pleasures
yeah.
And other nights, yeah, I get to play my deep house. I get to play my original productions. I get to go really deep in a warehouse party or a guest set at some really cool underground event and throw my own party and play really weird stuff. It's like, you get your chance. If
yes,
you really
yeah.
want to make it a career, then, you know, as a working DJ, I was like, yeah, this is actually bringing joy to different dance floors.
Mm.
It's like, it's no big deal. It's really mm. fun. And it's like, gives me a lot of joy.
What's next? As I know you're quite busy, what's next for you in the next, as we round off, you know, 2021?
Mm-hmm. Well, I just started getting a lot more calls already. So I'm doing a residency at the Drake Devonshire for the summer up in Prince Edward County.
Congrats.
And it's beautiful up
it's
there. Thank
stunning.
You. I'm so grateful that the Drake is slowly opening up. And this is like right on Lake Ontario. So it's
a beautiful
stunning
there.
Beach and it's a beautiful little hotel. And so I get to DJ in this cool booth out on the beach and it's a really fun way to spend my weekends. And lots of radio spots for different radio stations here. And in the UK, I have a residency with Aja Music. So that's a monthly spot on their global radio and a bunch of releases. I've got a remix coming out and about another EP. So constantly releasing the music and then I'm be doing a set for the virtual London Pride Festival coming up July 19th. So
brilliant.
there's always stuff going on, whether it's radio mixes or a live set now that we're open on patios.
Yes.
Or
yes.
Of releasing some music. So if I'm not in the studio, I'm prepping a set and it feels really good because I feel like that's what I'm supposed to be doing.
Well, I'm
so that was
so
a long-winded
grateful.
Answer.
No,
to
no, I'm so me. Grateful yeah. that you are, you know, you're back, not that you really went anywhere and that you're mm-hmm. creating more mm-hmm. space for all of us. Mm-hmm. I just want to thank you for being here. Oh my God.
It's been an absolute pleasure. And
it is such a privilege. Oh my God. It's such a privilege. I love your work and I can't wait to actually be present when you're playing again. So
thank you.
We can be all together. My friend, Kaz, thank you so much. I wish you so much goodness, greatness, wellness, everything.
Received and right back at you. Right back at you. This has been an honor. I can't wait to share this. And
yes,
this,
I,
you know,
yeah,
life is
it's
good.
Great. It's good. It's good. Ciao, my friend. Thank you for joining the conversation. We are growing an amazing community here at Let's Talk. Please share the show. Make sure you're subscribing and keep talking.
And you can always reach out to me at CoachShayMarville.com or on Instagram at ShayMarville. Let's talk. Let's keep talking.